You're listening to Community Spotlight on Gila Members Community Radio, Kuru 89.1 FM in Silver City, New Mexico, and online at gmcr.org. Our purpose is to enhance public awareness of our feature nonprofit or advocacy organization in Grand County and surrounding area. I'm Candace Burke, your weekly host. Today I was going to take the morning off, but I wanted to come on and just say something, just say how proud I am of our community radio. It's a voice of social justice, honesty, compassion, cool music, democracy, and tolerance, which is all the more important for these times we live in. And what an incredible week it has been for our nation. I'm quoting an article I was reading last night in the New York Magazine. The article's author is Rebecca Traister. Biden has, quote, steered us through a period in which so much that was novel without modern political parallel has been real bad, from viruses to armed insurrection and the rollback of established rights to the deification of Trump and the threats of his return. It is correct to feel terror, to apprehend that which mainly took to be the solid ground beneath their feet is shaking. But the reaction to the instability cannot be simply cleaving to an old order. We will never make new president that is good, that is innovative, that is groundbreaking, and is exciting. We are now in the position of perhaps doing so many things in this country that has never been able, we've never been able to do before. Elect a woman president, a black woman, an Indian American, a person born in 1964, and we are trying to do it in less than 4 months. How cool is that, listeners? Each of these things would be historically anomalous. And in this extremely salubrious for our republic, an improvement and expansion on what has been previously been possible, a repudiation of so much that has been waved off as impossible. On that note, I just want to tell all of our listeners the importance of us voting this November more than ever. I mean, we have a lot of historical things going on from which it's given me some renewed hope. George, what are your thoughts? I know on Local Flavor, you guys were talking about Kamala.
Yeah, I mentioned a few things. I think that it's important for people to have a pretty clear understanding of her record of public service prior to the time that she became vice president. She was the first woman elected to become the state attorney in the state of California. And in that capacity, she recovered a $1.1 billion judgment against an entity called Corinthian Colleges Incorporated. This was an entity that ran online schools called Everest, Heald, and Wyotech Colleges. And the problem with them was that they charged a lot of money, and the degrees that the students got were worthless. You know, so you can compare and contrast that with Donald Trump, whose own universities did exactly what Ms. Harris was able to rectify. She also got a $241 million judgment against an entity called Quest Diagnostics, which was California's largest provider of lab testing. And their problem was that they made repeated overcharges for their services and gave kickbacks to doctors, hospitals, and clinics that referred patients to them. This sets up a pretty good contrast with Senator Rick Scott from Florida, who had to take the Fifth Amendment five times when asked about the billing practices for his health company. And probably the most impressive thing of all, at least to me, the most impressive thing that she did while state's attorney, was she got an $18 billion settlement in the national lawsuits which went on against the big banks, principally Wells Fargo, Bank of America, Jamie Dimon's bank, Citibank, because all of those entities in the foreclosure crisis engaged in massive kinds of fraudulent activities and things which they were prohibited from doing in so-called servicing distressed loans. That $18 billion went to relief funds for homeowners who are in distressed situations. This is a radical contrast to what happened in Florida with this same settlement. The money that in the first place, even though the amount of injury was probably greater in Florida than it was in California because the banks felt that they could do anything, Florida got way less money than $18 billion, and that money went basically to relieve banks. So there you have it. You know, we have a person who's gotten more than billions of dollars against white-collar criminals who engage in fraudulent practices, as opposed to a character who's already been found to owe the state of New York more than $450 million because of his own fraudulent conduct in running a business. You know, I think the contrast is very stark. The other thing which I think really requires a great deal of emphasis is the fact that as a lawyer, as somebody who takes her oath to defend and protect the Constitution and laws of the United States, she has said that she will not have any problems certifying the electoral vote. Now, this stands in direct contrast to the candidate for vice president from the other party who says that he'll just decide the election and our votes don't count.
Right.
You know, I think that she's a remarkable person and has demonstrated a commitment to honest and straightforward and good public service. I'll say one other thing.
Go right ahead.
Everybody, there has been a lot of ink spilled over the attempted presidential assassination, and there have been a great deal of remarks made about what caused the assassination attempt. You know, the bottom line, in my opinion, is the guy who fired the shots was somebody who was not mentally competent, who had lawful possession of an assault rifle. One of the things that Ms. Harris has done is she, whilst being a senator from the state of California, she tried to reinstate the ban on the sale of assault rifles. You know,
well, she's done that, yeah.
If the assault rifle that was used in the assassination attempt was purchased in 2013, and that was 9 years after the ban on assault weapons expired. So what's the cause?
Here you go.
These are things which just speak volumes to me. You know, the facts matter.
Yeah, they really do. And did you catch her rally in Milwaukee? I watched that and got a lot of feedback from my friends of color in the country who, they're on fire. They are so exhilarated. I would say the majority are quite feeling much more hopeful about our country. I mean, this is a time in our history that it's exciting to be part of, the way I see it.
Well, hopefully.
Hopefully.
You know,
it's making me feel a little hopeful.
It's exciting and not so exciting. It's unfortunate that we even have to talk about
it. It is.
Somebody who's seeking elective office solely so that he can stay out of jail and make a lot of money.
Yeah, I liked what Kamala had to say about him. You know, it was just spot on. And doing it with truth and dignity. You know, you can do it, and with the exuberance she exuded was especially inspiring. But I think I really am so proud of our station for being able to to have that, we have that kind of voice that we can speak up in the face of fascism. I've said this so many times on the air that more than ever, it's so critical that we come together, united, and really uphold the Constitution and our equality as humans. I think it's more important than ever. Any more thoughts on that, George?
You know, she was a senator at the time that Brett Kavanaugh was confirmed as a Supreme Court justice, and she had the opportunity to question Kavanaugh while his nomination was pending. And here is the part of the transcript. She asked this question: can you think of any laws that give our government power to make decisions about the male body? That was the question. Here's his answer. I'm happy to answer a more specific question, but to which she responded, male versus female. Can you think of any laws that give the government the power to make decisions about the male body? To which she finally responded, I can't think of any right now.
Oh, oh wow, that's interesting. You know, having done civil rights work in your profession and in your life, is there anything that just particularly resonates with you at this time? I know I've seen you through a lot of your work and been there with you. What is it about this time that it really speaks to you?
Well, I voluntarily walked into a situation where I was expecting there to be very overt and on the edge of violence, racial animus at all times. And I left Florida believing that that kind of really venal attitude, in my opinion, very venal, very stupid, very self-defeating attitude, was much more widely felt than anybody really appreciated. And if, you know, the past 12 years or the past 8 years have demonstrated that people who really should not have the right to operate major agribusiness corporations, who've caused all kinds of destruction and all kinds of really terrible outcomes, people like that really are in places of extraordinary control and unfortunately I'm able to convince a lot of people to go along with their extraordinarily destructive conduct simply because they can get on a reality television show and simply because the mainstream media just is unwilling to tell the public what these guys are really like. You know, you can hear on NPR an interview with Rick Scott without ever having him challenged on the things he did with his Humana Health Corporation in Florida. I mean, it's just outrageous to me. But, this is the situation that we live in.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, there seems to be an aspect of human nature where people are perfectly willing to go along with the idea that that racism is perfectly all right, even though it's been shown over and over again that there is no justification for it whatsoever, and the consequences of holding an attitude like that is extraordinarily socially destructive in just every single metric that there is.
Now, George, let's talk more about that Project 2025. I think it's important that our listeners are better educated as to what that is and how that poses harm to our country.
It's 900 pages long, and I haven't read it all.
I haven't either.
But the parts of it that are the most important to me, I have gone through. The Department of Agriculture proposals that they have are just absolutely frightening. The Forest Service has done an abysmal job, in my opinion, for decades in managing forests. The parts of the Project 2025 having to do with the Forest Service seem to, at least to me, to encourage the Forest Service to engage in destructive timber practices, even in national parks. They are absolutely against any kind of funding for programs which have to do with climate science. You know, agriculture is a major contributor to greenhouse gases, and there are all kinds of things that can be done in agriculture to reduce CO2 emissions. They're opposed to all of that. And then, of course, they want to basically do away with, at least that's what it seems to me, they want to do away with SNAP benefits,
yes,
and with WIC benefits
and
with
Medicaid.
free school lunches. You know, I don't know how malignant you have to be to try and SNAP benefits. I just have a hard time understanding how anybody can be that malignant.
You know, it is so malignant. And I remember in graduate school, one of our professors was saying that he predicted there would be a time there would be a rise in the Republican Party of this kind of consciousness, where, again, there's a deserving and undeserving poor. But now we're getting to the point there's no deserving poor, that everyone should be subjected to punitive measures if they're food insecure. I mean, it's becoming so malignant. I love the way you describe that. It is a metastatic cancer on the soul of our country.
Well, you know, the contradiction between, on the part of people who are zealous about eliminating a woman's right to choose,
yep,
and their desire to stop feeding children, that contradiction is so obvious to me, I don't understand how anybody can hold those two beliefs simultaneously in good faith.
You know, that's the thing that's always baffled me, how what goes on intrauterine is more important than a fully viable child once they're here. And let's, you know, there's that opportunity to, again, penalize the woman or the family that has a child in a circumstance which is, merits, a great deal of food insecurity and financial hardship. This is, again, it shows you that whatever this so-called embodiment of compassion coming from life is not, there's no rationality to the way it's perceived, because right now, more than ever, we as a country really have to lift each other up on every level. And when things are really going strong with what's going on with the economy and all these different standing up for these rights which are being violated, this could all just come crumbling down with this new deified party.
Especially to the extent that they want to encourage political violence. And earlier on Local Flavor, I quoted that dangerous leftist, Barry Goldwater.
Good old Barry.
Who issued a statement saying that political violence has no place at all in the politics of the United States. He made that statement after Reagan was shot. And now we have, in addition to a vice presidential candidate who says that he's not going to obey the Constitution. He's, when he makes his first public address, the guy who warmed up the audience said, well, if we lose the election, we're going to have a civil war. You know, I just think that there's just a complete absence of any form of civility in this kind of behavior.
Yes. I mean, we were talking earlier, too, like some of the behaviors we've seen with Trump in terms of this reaction formation, whatever his internal values are, he projects that onto others as a way of gaslighting and obfuscating, you know, his stance. And talk about someone whose mental status is questionable. Oh, my goodness, this man is not competent. He's not fit to be a president.
I brought up the scenario, you know, it's 3 o'clock in the morning, and he gets awakened by the national security team saying, you know, there's a possibility that the Russians are going to launch a nuclear strike. You know, what's his reaction going to be? Well, in the first place, it's going to take him about a half an hour to wake up. And then after that, he's going to be thinking, well, what's in it for me?
And a spray-on tan. He's got to scramble around for a spray-on tan first.
You know, maybe he's going to get on the hotline and say, Vladimir, you know, if you want to, you know, fire a few nuclear weapons at the United States, it's fine with me as long as I get my hotel in Moscow. You know, it's a frightening thought.
It is.
I don't think that somebody who is a convicted felon should be anywhere close to weapons that can annihilate the entire biosphere. I just don't think that's a good idea.
No, not at all. And also the contradiction of many of his minions and followers who espouse this so-called Christian ideal of what a leader should be. But he is like, whoa, there's nothing so-called moral about these behaviors. It's like, it's such a contradiction. It's never in my lifetime would I ever have anticipated this kind of insanity, you know, and so it's a lot to ponder over.
In any event, we need to emphasize that all the opinions we've heard are the opinions of George and Candace, and not the opinions of Gila members, community radio, the board of directors, or sponsors.
No, because we know. I also hold, if I have anyone who opposing views, I'm going to hear them out. You know, it is important to talk with respect and tolerance, and I feel I do that. If anyone comes across as being intolerant, I try to hold them in some kind of kindness, and I think kindness goes a long way. I'm very Gandhian and Martin Luther King with handling any kind of issues with peacefulness and intention. What about you, George? What can you say to that?
Well, of course.
Yes.
But probably time we...
It is time. So, listeners, thank you for listening. I'm going to see you next week. We're going to have some really great guests coming on in August, and so I'm looking forward to that. I just want to let you know that you have been listening to Community Spotlight on Gila Members Community Radio, Kuru 89.1 FM in Silver City, New Mexico, and online at gmcr.org. Community Spotlight airs every Thursday at 10:30 a.m. and is archived online at gmcr.org. I'm Candace Burke. Love you all, and thanks for listening.